WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, welcome. It's episode 441, I think, rather than 440, which is what says at the top of my agenda. I'm going 441. I'm inventing an episode. I don't even care. I think it's 441. Coleman's looking panicked. Aren't you, Coleman?
I fixed it.
I've gone rogue.
Hi!
How you doing?
Good.
And good. We're joined by a man who's more likely to go rouge than go rogue. It's Tim. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Saucy.
Yeah, all right. Yourself?
Oh, we're just going to do noises for the
Yeah, might as well.
We're good.
That's the rest of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. It was a bit like they used to on Whose Line's It Anyway.
Yeah.
It just
sounds like a great idea.
Converse making noises.
Well, this is all very interesting, but
it is.
We've got a lot to talk about this week, so shall we just get straight into
the
show?
Oh, man. Coleman doesn't like it when I try and host anymore. He's like, move over, old man. Your hosting days are done.
My time is now. No, we just got a lot to get through, and we've all got games we want to talk about this week, so I thought, let's do that.
Games and current PS5 games and
But because all I'm sorts. Nice... Because I'm nice, I'll let you guys go first, and I'll just squeeze mine in to the space available. I shall thumb them in to the time remaining.
Well, I'll go first then, because I've got the only brand new game that's on this list that isn't an update or a remaster or anything.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
What is it?
It's Resident Evil Village.
Correct. So,
is it on the... PS5.
PS5, continuing on the discussion from last week. Yeah, so
I have a question, Coleman.
Yes.
Blimey.
How are the village people?
They are all kinds of monsters. And
I have a question.
Something is going wrong. Yes.
Is there a zombie policeman?
No.
Oh. So it's not actually the village people.
Not really. Many
zombies.
Wow,
I know this joke's been
this
done
game.
By many people. Let's just carry on with it, Tim.
Okay.
I will admit this is the first I've actually heard this joke. Resident Evil village people. I must admit. I think we might all just be showing our age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Resident Evil is out. We were talking about you were playing the demo last week,
Certainly
Dan, on the PC. I've been allowed the time to play on the PlayStation 5. And I must say, this is one of the first examples that wasn't a launch game to make me go, yes, a next-gen system. This makes sense.
Because that's still the problem, right?
Yeah,
and I mean, I think it's even because, and we talked about this way back when the consoles launched, that it's not the massive jump that there was, say, from PS3 to PS4 or from 360 to Xbox.
Mark Cerny said it was a revolution, not an evolution.
Also,
no,
he's called Mark Cerny from Cerny.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Tim. That great quote. I applaud you on your journalism. There was this man. He said a thing. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for that, mate. But yeah, it's all the subtle little things that all the ray tracing and all the super sexiness makes up for. And I've just seen lots of videos of people trying to swap big tall lady's bottom with a fly swatter.
Oh, I've not seen that. I've seen a lot of, because I think I watched one review of Village online, and then all of a sudden I'm now getting all these different videos of mods or people constantly trying to shoot big lady, Lady D. Her name has had like 17 different pronunciations just on the PR videos alone. So
Dimitrescu.
I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dimitrescu.
There we go. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I don't know if the U is pronounced, but yeah.
Now,
Lady D makes it much easier.
I swear there was a footballer with the same surname some years ago. But anyway,
what, Lady D?
It's probably quite a common surname.
Not Lady D.
What, Lady D?
No.
Well, technically, there is a... Is this the potential... Tim knows where I'm going with this. Look at it.
I hopefully don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, all we know is that we do have someone who used to be Lady D who could be a shoo-in for a undead revival at some point.
No.
I'm just
saying.
Too soon. No candles in the wind.
Whoa,
nothing like that.
I didn't think you'd stoop that low. Okay.
Of course I'm going to stoop that
low. I always knew he would. Yeah. He has stooped lower and probably will. Yeah. But anyway, okay. Video games. This actual yes. brand new video game. Let's talk about it.
Now, the first thing I'm going to say, Coleman.
Yeah.
Can Coleman not say something?
The
first.
One who actually played.
No,
the game.
It's fine. Yeah. Dan's actually going to review the game.
Well, I played a bit of the game. Now, I held fire on buying it because I heard that it's good up to a point, but actually doesn't quite deliver on the narrative promises and is a wee bit on the short side.
Okay, so the way that I've experienced and heard further on from other people is this game is shorter than 7, but it's short in such a way that it's actually quite welcomed because you want to replay it many times for the going back through with all your upgrades intact and finding extra treasures and hidden secrets and all this kind of stuff. It's very worthwhile for that. The kind of stuff that people are complaining about is much like my complaint of 7, which is by the time you get to the end, it is Call of Zombie. In this case, which I think is just Black Ops, but anyway, in this case, they what they did with 7 is they went, here's all these different family members, and each time you meet a family member, it's going to change up the levels slightly. And one of them was a really different big departure because they went, hey, this guy likes setting all these traps and puzzles and stuff, and then they take all your weapons away and make you go through a kind of Saw type scenario. And this one, it expands on that more so when they go, okay, so when you see Lady D, and that's the other thing people are complaining about, Lady D isn't featured as heavy as you thought she would be featured because of all the... They basically showed off the game, showed off this woman. The internet fell in love with this woman. And then they went, okay, we're going to slap her all over the PR campaign. And then when you actually play the game, she's only in the first section of it and dispatched quite quickly. But there's different bosses. And each time you enter one of those bosses' levels, it's a different form of Resident Evil. So the first one is like 7, which is a first-person version that harkens back to a lot of the earlier games, but also takes a lot from more indie horror games and a bit of PT as well. And then, like, the next one will be the take all your weapons away, make you go for a puzzle house type thing. And the last one the second to last one that people have been complaining about is it's basically get your weapons out and shoot bad guys, in giant succession and big crazy bosses and all that kind of stuff. But otherwise, I like it. I really, really like this game. Currently, this is probably my favorite game to come out this year, just for the kind of level of polish that showing you here is a new generation game that makes you... I mean, I've got the PS4 version. It's included with the PS5 version. Mm-hmm. I probably should install it and just to have a look and see how that performs. But my PlayStation 4 makes really loud noises when I try to boot anything up that isn't Minecraft. So... maybe not. But like the look of this game, like how quick it loads and all that kind of stuff, all these improvements that you've been getting in these modern generation games, also combined with like just the sheer amount of detail that's been put into this, it's a very, very enjoyable experience. And it's actually made me go, for as much as I didn't like 4 when it first released and haven't gone back to 4, maybe I'll purchase 4 and stick it on the Switch. As I've been trying to play some of the games I own on 360 on the Xbox, and they don't look that great if they're retro ports to digital.
Things never age quite as well as you expect to. I mean,
yeah. So I was thinking maybe on a smaller handheld screen, 4 might be actually really enjoyable because they do take a lot from 4, what I hear, and stick into this game, especially in the first kind of Lady D house that you're going through.
But I want to know is, did she live a life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in? That's what I
have
know,
a more
Lady
sensible
D.
question, Mr. Coleman.
Oh, bugger
Please
off.
Please do. Yeah, I've got some sensible questions
as well, Timothy. Hold your horses. Okay. Now, one of the things, because I haven't really committed that much of the plot to Resident Evil 7 to memory, and right. It seems that there's quite a lot of narrative carryover from 7 into Village. If I haven't memorized the events of Resident Evil 7 and I'm a little bit of a loss to who Ethan actually is that going to affect my enjoyment of the game?
Mate, you can, to be honest, I think anyone
you have
that
heard
played
of
through
the
7,
internet, yes, Dan.
Well, I think everyone who played through 7 is at a loss to who Ethan is because he's such a blank slate of a character. But they do, at the start of the game, go, hey, do you want a recap of Seven's events? And they'll just quickly run you through everything to go through. I will say, where Seven felt like this is a game that you didn't necessarily have to be a huge Resident Evil fan and know all the lore and stuff to get into, and then there's a little bit they throw in at the end. This one, it does the same kind of thing. You can play through and not really play through the older games or play through Seven to get to, but like the finale of the game does go, okay, now we're going to tie into everything in one here, and it's sloppy and horrible and you're not going to enjoy it, but the game itself is very enjoyable. So it's just the ending point, but the getting to that point is very fun. And it doesn't seem like a particularly scary game in comparison, especially in comparison to Seven.
That was going to be my question. Would you still describe this as a survival horror game?
Yes and no. If you pump it up to like the hardest setting, then it's going to be a survival horror game. But the thing is, it's that thing of it's survival horror to begin with, that then, because you can upgrade and power up your weapons and look for all the treasures, and because like you can buy upgrades for your weapons, you can find treasures to make those upgrades. You can hunt fish and chickens and stuff and get upgrades that way.
Ethan, hunt fish, chickens, lovely.
Yep. You can find like a doll's body. There are rewards that you can find, or treasures you can find, that you can then combine to make more expensive treasures. So for instance, you can find a very rare doll's body, but not the head. But then you can find the head on its own, combine the two, it's more expensive than if you were to sell them individually. If you put the time in to do stuff like that, then you'll be on the upgrade train much quicker. And then it becomes less of a survival horror and more of a, here's an action game with jump scares in it.
I'm still on my question, Dan, because my follow-up question was, where does the horror come into the game if it's not that scary? Like, why does it still seem like a Resident Evil game if it doesn't really feel like a horror game or a survival game?
It's kind of that genre of approachable horror, Conjuring, like the Conjuring films. They're not particularly scary, but they're kind of scary for all ages, teenage horror type thing. I think it's that. There are some disturbing moments in it that are a bit more scary. I think I'm very desensitized to violence because of the video games I've played over the years. But there is one point that is incredibly freaky in that game, and I won't spoil what it is, but everyone seems to be, you've probably seen it by accident already because everyone seems to be spoiling that part of the game.
I've managed not to see it yet, but as Tim's alluded to, I don't know how Google works, so
that's fair enough. I saw one review when they went, there's a really horrible bit, and I hope that if anyone spoils it to you, they should be shot into the sun or something like that.
Wow.
And then immediately the next video I see is, look at this thing that you should find for yourself because it's terrifying.
But because that's what I'd heard, they were going more for like the psychological creepy horror angle. So a bit like what, say for example, The Ring, as a very obvious movie reference that is more unsettling horror than jump scare horror. I mean, is that the angle they're kind of going for, where it's just meant to just creep you out rather than it being, oh my God, there's that thing with an arse for a face that just jumped out of a bush,
No, there's no people
with arses for faces in bushes.
I don't think it's particularly like your psychological horror type. It is literally like there's a virus that is turning. Well, it's not a virus. There is something going on in this Romanian village that you've gone to, and all the kind of like. To begin with, I think this was the part of the demo you played, actually, Dan. All the kind of townspeople are turning into monsters, so they're kind of like werewolves. So it's more that, hey, there's a thing that's coming towards you, and now it's got scary powers, and it's going to jump into your face and try bite you and stuff like that. Less so than the actual psychological stuff. But then again, it depends on the level. Like they've tried to make it so each boss that you're going up against and you go to their level to go and work for all the puzzles and stuff before you go and fight them, they're all done in different ways, different genres. So it's going to depend on the part you're playing. But I really do recommend this game, especially, I mean, if you're a Resident Evil fan, then you're probably playing it already. It's broke ridiculous sales records for Resident Evil games, which is great because 7 didn't do too well on release at first. But yeah, if you like Resident Evil, you're probably already playing this. If you just played 7, then you want more of that, play this. If you're new to the game, play this. Or in fact, I think you can get a double pack where you can get 7 on PS5 and Xbox Series X and all that stuff bundled in with it. So it's maybe worth getting that. But yeah, I really enjoy it. This is one of my favorite games released this year.
Right. Well, there we go. Big Ooh. Tall Lady is Big Tall Lady, and she's in the game. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Ish. Also something about people with butts for faces and bushes. I don't know.
Tim, you've been playing, you've spoken about this one on the show before.
Yeah.
But it's had an enhanced version, and I would like to know about those enhancements, and that's Terminator Resistance.
One of those enhancements didn't work out quite so well, so I didn't play quite as much of it as I was planning to. I did instead watch the Mortal Kombat movie, so that's kind of relevant to the podcast as well. But hey, Terminator Resistance Enhanced. It was one of those kind of, it felt like, when I sort of described it before, I kind of said it felt like one of the kind of middle ground games that we don't kind of get so much, the kind of AA rather than AAA almost kind of thing. But yeah, like it was a really enjoyable game. It's probably the best Terminator thing, movie or game for quite some time.
I mean, if you've seen a lot of the stuff of the that's property. Come out in the Terminator franchise, though, that's
I know
not
that's
really
a fairly low bar,
much.
But you know, I would say it's probably the best Terminator thing I've played through since T2, and it felt a lot like the people that made it were massive fans of Terminator 1 and 2, particularly, basically. And it really takes some nice keys from that, and the way it kind of does things within the world and the way things look and feel. The enhanced edition, as far as I can see, has generally just, beefed up the graphics a little bit. There is some more detail on the kind of back of the guns look really highly detailed and other bits like that. I wouldn't say that the character models look fantastic from what I've seen of them. Like, they don't seem to have been massively enhanced. I think it's mainly like lighting effects and textures and stuff like that that seems to have been, have a graphical enhancement, basically. There's probably a few things to characters, but more texture-based things and stuff, but...
I mean, is ray tracing like a thing? Because that seems to be given half an excuse people want to shove
ray
tracing.
That's what I'm saying, the lighting side of things. And I couldn't entirely see whether it was ray tracing. Unlike a lot of other games that have come to PS5, this doesn't have a bevy of options, so you can't really see what it is and isn't using. And there's no performance option or anything. It's just the enhanced version, basically. The one thing I would say is there's a lot of fires, especially early on in that game, that are in confined areas, from a barrel or something that have got people crowded around them. And the lighting and the reflections and stuff on that look really good and quite impressive and stuff. The reason why I stopped playing it is because there was a weird audio bug, and it had some audio bugs in...
Arnie just speaks that way, mate.
No, it had some audio bugs in the game originally. But they weren't quite as bad as it seems to be in the Enhanced Edition. Hopefully it's something they can patch out. But it seemed to be not every time you were inside, but it seemed to be if you're in a small building where the sound was muffled or echoed, or not echoing in a big building, it seemed to be it would disrupt the sound and you just lose all sound in the game altogether. And then as soon as you walked out of the same building you were in, it would come back. So it was a bit weird. So I kind of left that alone just because, hopefully something they'll fix. And I wouldn't mind playing through that again. I'd forgotten more of the story than I thought I had kind of thing. I'm playing through the beginning of it again. So I'm okay, I'll give that a go. They've also, and I'm not sure if they added that just for the Enhanced Edition, or is this something that came out after I finished playing the game and never went back to? But as well as the campaign mode, there's an infiltrator mode now.
This one's exclusive to the Enhanced Edition.
Right, okay, yeah. But then, yeah, you're going round the map as a Terminator rather than, no spoilers, but as a human, let's say, for... possibly, maybe, because that's kind of in doubt in the previous game. But then you're going around as an infiltrator, as a Terminator, and there's various groups you've got to go around, and then you've got to pick up different intel. It's also a kind of one run and you're done thing, so if you get killed at any point, you reset and go all the way back to the beginning. They say in the instructions beforehand that it's probably about 45 minutes or so. And I got about 35 minutes in and died. And I was like, okay, I'm going to come back to that another time. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, an extra little mode, another little thing to add on. There wasn't massive amounts of reasons to replay the original game. So I think that's a nice addition in the fact that that bit of it at least is replayable somewhat. So,
But because this is, if you've already got the PS4 version, am I correct
thinking free upgrade,
that you get this for free? Okay.
And I'm guessing that the game will be available at cheaper than it was at launch type thing. But I think it was only about 30, 35 at maximum, may have even been lower than that. So I don't know if someone can have a quick look what the price is now. But anything around that sort of range, if you're a Terminator fan, especially like our age or just a fan of the older films in particular, I think this really nails the kind of feel and the look of that type of thing. As I said, not particularly polished, and the enhanced edition, while making it slightly nicer, it still doesn't look like a full like AAA title in some places, but it plays well and it's enjoyable, and the upgrade system for the guns and stuff was really like interesting and worked really well and fit within the universe. And yeah, like it's a definite recommend for anyone that hasn't checked it out yet, and for anyone that just has a PS5 and wasn't aware that the enhanced edition's there and it's got a few little extra bits to play at some point as well. So
looks like it's somewhere in the region of 40-ish quid.
40.
Yeah. 35 on £34.99 on PS4, £39.99 on PS5.
Ooh, that's but then the, just buy the PS4 version and then get the free upgrade.
We have to check. You've got to see if that is included with you, versions that you buy now or just for people that bought it previously.
Yes.
So at a more expensive price. You follow Tim's. I mean, generally, that's just good advice anyway. Check if you're doing anything that Tim says. But
I keep umming and ahhing over this game and hovering over it. I'm looking out for it in a sale, and I probably will just wait till I can buy a PS5 version. Because the idea of... Because the story, if I've got this right, it's the future... It's the future as shown in Terminator 1 and 2.
Yeah.
That they show at the start of the film before the film then goes to our time in the 80s and 90s. And then negates all the other films because it's meant to be setting up... Well, it's meant to be in a future that was once meant to happen in Terminator 1 and 2, but then is kind of wiped out after the events of 2, and then Resistance is the new future, and... I don't know if they were going to do something along those lines.
My brain hurt.
But yeah. And also I'm interested to see, because it's the studio that made that really bad Rambo game on 360 and PS3.
Well, they definitely did a better job with the Terminator game than the Rambo game.
Yeah,
I'd like
not saying much.
Well, I'd like to see how well they've improved. And all like that Rambo game was really bad, but they did make a pretty decent looking Sly Stallone at the time before they put one in Mortal Kombat. But and now I might be putting one in Fortnite. So, hey.
Well, everything's getting in Fortnite. Do you reckon we've got a chance of ending up in Fortnite?
Probably. No. Fortnite's the Funko Pop of video games, mate.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they were Funko Pop video games. Gears of Funko.
And the other thing I played this week, shall I do that? Or should we
go
fed
on,
up hearing
Tim.
From me for a bit?
Might as well.
The other thing I played this week, and I'm going to have to put this in terms that will make you laugh at me more than it is, but I literally swapped my PS4 Pro this week for a PlayStation Classic. And other things. But
like,
one of those other things...
As in the we want to do a Nintendo Entertainment System Mini, but we'll call it PlayStation overprice it and make it a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
But wait, that's not all. How about, as well as this PlayStation Classic, we'd like to swap you for some Magic Beans!
Magic Beans?
I knew you'd go there. I did not have a cow, so I could not swap it for any Magic Beans. But yeah, but I did swap it for a few things, and one of the things I got was also Sackboy: A Big Adventure, a new copy of that, basically.
Okay,
nice.
I have a regret with this game.
Oh,
all right.
I regret not pre-ordering it.
Right.
Oh,
why?
Okay. Because the pre-order stuff that came with it.
Because the pre-order bonuses that came with it. Like adorable little PlayStation costumes throughout different things. So it's like Nathan Drake and God of War. And
no, that was only if you pre-ordered like the super special edition. It wasn't for regular. No, it was the more expensive version of the game you had to get. Because I was looking into.
Okay, that makes me feel better because I thought I just missed out on all those cool costumes.
Because I was thinking of pre-ordering it in advance before I even had the console so I could get those costumes. Then I looked and was like, I'm not paying 85 quid for
I mean, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
Right, but having got this version of the game, and I got it for a bit less, I think I got it for like 50 quid and was trading in anyway. But then, yeah, like... I regret not paying the extra money for those extra costumes with how much I'm enjoying the bit of the game that I've played so far, basically. I've only got through, I think, the first world and a bit of the second world. I've just opened, like, a tiger costume thing, which I just bought. But,
tiger!
Yeah,
tiger! Uppercut!
Anyone that doesn't know, Sackboy A Big Adventure is a spin-off game from Little Big Planet series that takes out all of the creation side of things and just leaves you with a 3D rather than the 2.5D that it had before, and a 3D action platformer that is 1-4 player. Right. I thought this wasn't online, but it is.
It wasn't,
it wasn't
to
online
begin with.
At launch, apparently.
No, they patched it in later.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the online presumably is what? It's just pure co-op on the same level. It's
four co-op, basically. Okay. And there are levels that are particularly designed... I think there's one level per world that's particularly designed to be a co-op level. But there are areas and bits of levels just generally where there's bits where you can kind of cheat your way around and get there, because you can pick up one of the other people and like throw them places as well. So you can get them, you can get to higher ledges and stuff just by throwing people rather than actually solving how to get there sometimes.
Nice.
So yeah, and it's kind of
force your way through.
There is a bit of a slapstick nature to it still. You can, they've, there's still a lot of the stuff that you could do in Little Big Planet. Like you can zoom into your character in the level and like wave your arms around and wave your head around and like move stuff about, and then you manipulate the facial expressions on Sackboy and stuff. And I'm sorry, I've said this before in the show, I have no shame in admitting that I find Sackboy completely and utterly adorable, but also kind of forget that a little bit and then come to this game and he's just wearing silly little Sherpa costumes and yak costumes and just, yeah, here's an adorable little thing, I have to say. And
I'm kind of glad that this didn't, that like, it's one of the kind of benefits of lockdown is that this didn't come enter like this level of hype where they would have been taking it around all the events and stuff, because they usually, when they bring out a Little Big Planet game or a game by a Media Molecule or anything like that, they tend to make these tiny little Sackboy figurines, keyrings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome, and then, cute little Sackboys.
And then it reminds me when I see them and get them at one of these events that I absolutely love these things, and I'll go out my way to try and get all of them. And I can't be doing that again. So I've got some in the attic somewhere, but I'm not doing more. Tim seems to have
Tim's
run away
gone.
To go get
we
his
have
thing.
One Sackboy.
Yep.
And yep. We have one Order 1886 Sackboy.
Very good.
What's the Order 1886?
Game that badly needs a sequel. But anyway, it's right. I was enjoying the game and it was a good experience and it's fun and like going through the levels. And you know me, I'm not the most platform
clever,
heavy kind of gamer. I'm not really into platformers generally. But yeah, like Sackboy does kind of push me into the he's really well, and the levels are like fun and well designed. There's one level that I came across, and I'm going to spoil one tiny little part of it, but there's a level where the whole level is set to the tune Uptown Funk.
Oh, nice.
Now, I was going to say that this may be the best use of Uptown Funk in a video game, but I think I'll just throw away that qualifier. This is the best use of Uptown Funk. Full stop. Like,
all right,
nice.
The whole level, like all the like platforms and everything, are moving in time to the music and like vibing around and stuff. And it does the lyrics as you progress through the level, and it kind of like holds off if you're kind of just wandering around and doing stuff where it's just kind of going through the beat. But then it will go bit to the next part of the song as you get to the next part of the level, and you progress through the song as you go. And it's just a thing of great joy. I unlocked an Elvis costume just at the time as well. That seemed suitable. And then, yeah, I literally, I was playing it just generally, and it was quite late at night, and I was like, okay, I'm going to grab my headphones, turn this all the way up, and just bop through this level. And it was so enjoyable. It was so good. And that was a particular high point, but I've been smiling and laughing all the way through. Like, there's little bits where just at the end, in similar to the Little Big Planet games, you can, like, pose for a photograph where you've, like, won the trophy and you can hold the trophy up and stuff like that. But when you're playing in multiplayer... you can slap someone and take the trophy off them, which is quite good fun. But there was one where me and my flatmate were playing the other day, and I slapped him and took the trophy off him as he was doing it. And the photo is him just like mid slap, face like a turn, no trophy in sight. I'm gone by the time the photo got taken. I laughed my ass off for about 10 minutes. Like, it was, yeah. I've just had such fun just playing the game, and I can't remember the last time I've had as much fun just messing around with a video game. And I actually, like, can't wait to go back in and, like, find what the next levels are going to be doing and stuff like that. But yeah,
just, so I have two major questions, yep, though.
Okay.
Question the first. Is Stephen Fry in it?
No.
I was meaning to look up who the voice actor
Storm
was.
French.
It's a Storm woman French that's introducing it.
It's Dawn French. Oh, is my it? God, it's Dawn French.
Okay.
Listen to me.
Yes.
Is it Dawn French?
Is it? I think it might
is
be Dawn French.
French. Common. Is it, I've heard it might be Dawn French. Is it Dawn French?
Jesus.
Yeah?
Yes, it's Dawn
Jennifer
French.
Saunders.
Oh, for God's sake.
No? Right, anyway. But yes, that makes sense. I knew I recognised her. I hadn't looked up who it was. And
I was trying to grab I was trying to grab the footage for the video version of this podcast, and I came across it. And, like, at the start, I heard one line of the narration when I Dawn French.
But yeah, but she's quite good fun in it, and plays a character called Scarlet, I believe. And yeah, like, it's just fun and silly, and Sackboy continues to be adorable and not really talk in it, but still kind of communicates a little bit. But yeah, as I said, it's just been a delight. Someone else that commented on the fact that I said I'd picked up a copy on Twitter, and someone else said, I enjoyed that game more than a grown man has any right to do. And I completely understand why he's saying that. Like, yes.
Yeah, I'm really so looking forward to getting
second.
That one.
Question the second.
Do you actually miss any of the creation stuff at all? Or is the focus that this has given to the game actually to its benefit?
I almost wish I missed it more than I do, because I always thought, yeah, it's great. I'd love supporting a game that does creation and stuff like that. And I bought Dreams, and then I didn't really do much with Dreams. I haven't even really revisited it since the VR content came out and stuff like that. So I feel like I need to go back and do that at some point. But yeah, this takes all the good points that I liked about Sackboy, and I think sacrificing the creation side of things in favor of actually freeing up the level design and just, you know, the ability to do things differently and not have to make it so that other people can create them. It still feels like, is it Craft World? I think it is the world it refers to. And that still, it's got that kind of hand stitched kind of feel and kind of stuff like that. But yeah, like it, I don't know, it's, I think it is a more enjoyable game for having moved on from the 2.5D, and I think that was probably kept that way because of the creation side of things, or with that in mind at least. So I think that the game benefits and is more enjoyable because it doesn't have that in it, basically. And yeah, and I've been really enjoying it, and I highly recommend it. So yeah.
Fair enough.
Pick up a copy. And I'm looking for more people to play with. So you guys get a copy. Or someone get a
when
copy.
I can,
everyone get a copy.
I mean, I have once again been snubbed by the Curry's lottery to buy a PlayStation 5. So I've still not got a PlayStation 5. But when I do, I will get me that Sackboy.
Yeah, yeah. And then we can play co-op as well. Because that's one thing I'll say, is it's definitely a bit more fun in co-op than it is in single player. But...
yeah. I mean, in preparation for Sackboy's Big Adventure, I did try to finish playing through Little Big Planet 3, because that's the only one that I haven't finished the single player version of. Does anyone know that game's been broken for 3 months? Like, all the Little Big Planet games have been broken.
I don't know why, but was that Sumo Digital as well?
Little Big Planet 3 was Sumo Digital, as was Vita. 1 and 2 and the Move Pack were Media Molecule.
Okay. I also have to give a shout out to the whoever designed and voiced and generally did the stuff for Zoom Zoom or whatever. Zoom Zoom. The shopkeeper Jeff. Guy, anyway. He was in 3 as well, apparently. I don't really remember him, but he's been hysterically funny every time he comes on screen in Sackboy. So, yeah. Like,
What have you been playing, Dan?
Had a lot of fun with it.
George, well, I can go very quickly. One I actually got by, and it's the first time I've done this, I actually paid early for my Humble Bundle this month.
Oh.
Because it contained Metro Exodus, which has recently
Exodus.
Had an enhanced edition, because that's what you do these days. Enhanced edition is the new HD remaster, I've noticed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I must admit, I never really played Metro Exodus back when it first came out. And this is more just for, you know.
Because you didn't listen to me, Dan.
I know. I'm treating it a bit as a tech demo because it's got all of the bells and whistles, super high-res textures. It's
big
got,
trains.
You know, trains, yeah. Russian voices, questionable voice acting. but most importantly, it's kind of like the next-gen, quote-unquote, visual features. And on PC, at least, really kind of unleashing what's known as DLSS, which is NVIDIA's tech for kind of, what's the best way to put it? They like to use lots of claims that it's AI and all of that stuff, but basically they've analysed the way that the game renders the graphics and uses that information to make it much more efficient, which means that with everything turned on, everything at max, you'll get 90 frames a second without really your PC breaking much of a sweat if you have one of the RTX series cards. It looks fantastic. I mean, I think a bit like you were saying with Terminator earlier, you can tell it's an older game having been given a bit of a spit and polish. There are some moments where you're like, wow, that looks absolutely incredible. But then the kind of the fourth wall gets broken a bit with kind of either some slightly janky animation or something that looks very low poly, a bit out of place. But I mean, the sheer atmosphere that ray tracing, the visual effects associated with it, make to a game. You know, it makes it's all the little subtle things just make it feel so much more immersive. And yeah, I mean, I think the one thing I would say is that I think some of the core gameplay mechanics haven't aged that well since 2016, which is when I think the first Metro Exodus came out, right?
Was it that long?
I think it is that long.
I reviewed it on the show.
I think it might have been
a review copy of it, but
well, the very first one. I thought it was before that.
Hmm?
Or no, Metro Exodus specifically.
Oh, Metro Exodus. It wasn't 2016.
Was it?
I remember playing it. I remember playing at EGX specifically because it was one of those games that we cheekily got past the line because I was with some other mates and one of them walked up to the guy and went, "Hi, we're from," and made up a like that he was part of a big publication, and we just walked in and the whole time we're going, "God, I hope I don't get in trouble."
Oh, no, you're right. Actually, I'm getting completely confused. The initial release date of Metro Exodus was 2019.
Yeah.
2019. Okay, so it was the one before that we did.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Statue of Limitations should be fine.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I don't know. There's still some stuff about it that just feels
a bit clunky.
A
little bit dated when it came out. And yeah, so.
Which is why I got to assuming it was the one that released in 2016. But hey, what do I know? But, you know, it's as a tech demo, it's great. I mean, it's. But I'll be honest, I can't, aside from the nice visual upgrade, and I quite like the world that they've built, which I understand is actually based on a series of novels by a Russian author anyway.
Yeah.
They've made a fun playground to play in with a cool backstory, but I've not really been that gripped by the game itself, I have to say.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the gunplay, but I didn't get pulled through to play to completion, sort of thing.
I think, because this is one of those series, if you played the first one and you really got into it, then it's follow the story, keep on enjoying, and really get into it. It's one of those things. It's got its fans. This is one of those series that I think, apart from Exodus, I have all of the games because they've been given away on PlayStation Plus or Games with Gold or Humbles or whatever, and I've ended up with all of them and have yet to play a single one of them. except for the one time in preview where I think I represented IGN or someone.
Nice. But, you know, I mean, it's a pretty looking game. It's, you know, you can get it. If you've already got Metro Exodus on Steam, I believe, you get a free upgrade. I don't know if the same applies. I would imagine it would to the Epic Store version. Because, of course, this was the game where there was a lot of brouhaha about it being Epic Store exclusive. That's kind of what kicked it all off.
Well, this was one that they were showing off specifically with Xbox because they had the Series X and they were like, world's most powerful console and all that kind of... the Xbox X, I think it was, Xbox One X.
That makes sense.
This was one of those games that they touted for it, going, hey, it's way better than PS4 Pro if you go play this on Xbox and get our stupidly expensive console that is going to be discontinued in a year when we release the next one. So...
Wow.
But yeah, I remember, well, because I remember the build-up for that, and then I remember the kind of fallout.
But anyway, if you've already got Metro Exodus, I can't see, it doesn't really bring anything new apart from shiny graphics, to be fair.
I do like shiny graphics.
So there might, I wouldn't, you know, if you played it on, say, an Xbox and you've now got a PS5 and you've kind of switched kind of platforms, I probably wouldn't recommend rebuying it. But if you want to dip your toes into the water and revisit something that you've essentially getting a free upgrade for, then yeah, go for it. I mean, it's a really nice tech demo showing what new platforms can do. But beyond that, I don't really think brings much else.
I have been thinking, because all my time that isn't Resident Evil Village, which again, I play with my girlfriend, so that's like one night a week we play this game, and otherwise I'm on Sea of Thieves all the time. I need something a bit more story heavy, because I haven't had like a good story in a game for a while since I finished playing Days Gone. I don't know. Maybe I'll throw this one in the mix. I'm thinking going through old Resident Evil games or the Yakuza games, but or Gears of War. Maybe I'll go through the Gears of War games that I never finished. But
for
Metro,
me,
maybe I'll just
every,
start
every
Metro.
Gears of War after 3. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly. I was thinking of skipping Judgment and just going straight to the Xbox One.
Oh, yeah,
games.
Judgment. I forgot about that. That was a weird game.
Yeah, I want to play that at some point. They announced the sequel.
Do you want to do Destiny 2?
I will briefly do Destiny 2. Now, I haven't sunk as much time into Destiny 2's new season as I otherwise would. So for those of you
who are you and what have you done with Dan?
Well, unfortunately, Dan's work needed Dan to do lots of science. And Dan's work needed Dan to be in meetings till 9:30 every night. So
I can imagine there's a day where we go, hey, Dan, what are you up to? And he goes, not playing Destiny, and then goes...
Yeah, it's true. So the new season's out. It's called Season of the Splicer. It brings, as per usual with every new season of Destiny, a whole bunch of seasonal activities to do. A very pretty looking roadmap.
Like harvesting,
what?
Harvesting. It's an autumnal activity. Different seasons. No.
Season of the Splicer.
So yes.
See how I brought that back round.
Yeah, all right.
Didn't even use a soundboard.
So the long and short of it is basically the Vex, the robot badmans of the Destiny universe.
The same name as the bad person in Sackboy.
Well, I was going to say the Vex, the one that Bungie like to copy and paste and go, yep, this is your new enemy. It's a different variation of the Vex.
Yep, pretty much. Well, I haven't gone to that length. I mean, it's like, hey, look, there's some more Vex. I haven't quite worked out what the heck they're on about. It sounds a little bit MacGuffin-tastic. It's like, right, so the Vex simulation means that it's night all the time in the tower, and that's bad because dark things... no light is bad, I guess.
But Dan, is there a different variation of Vex that come along with Season of the Splicer? Because you've got the Vex, then you've got the black Vex with the stars shining through their body, and then you've got the old rusted Vex.
What do we have now? I think there will be variations of Vex, which I'll come onto at the moment.
Vex with flame details.
But basically, what
go faster stripes.
Yeah, there are Vex. No go faster
exactly
stripes.
Exactly like Vex, just called Steve.
Yeah, or ones with, you know, none with big smiley faces painted on their big stupid robot faces, nothing like that. So yeah, but the basically you're charged with trying to stop the Vex simulation, and you've got to buddy up with the Fallen. Well,
the band.
Yes, the Fallen. Yes, the band.
Nice.
You have to kind of make good with a character called Mithrax, who used to be one.
The band.
Yes, the band. I'm just going to say yes. Yeah, everything's going to be a band to you.
Getting the band back together, basically.
The band.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's a band called Mithrax.
Get the band back together. It's basically Mass Effect.
Well, actually, that was the plot of Destiny 2 you also described as well, where it was getting the band back together. So you're having to make allies with old enemies to deal with the Vex threat. You have to go, you know, spelunking in the Vex dataverse.
The game.
The band, actually.
The band.
Spelunky the band.
Yeah, you have to go spelunking in the Vex universe where you have to capture data from there. It's a bit like, it's kind of a new six-player activity, so it does bring a bit of variation to it. But the big kind of two tentpole features of this season are, one, Vault of Glass is coming back, which is, you know, holy goodness, they're recycling old content. Apparently there's new aspects to it, but the Vault Glass come back, which is a kind of a big draw for
recycled glass.
What they've done, they've taken all of you had to spend all of Destiny 2 beforehand separating your green glass from your brown glass so that they could, you know, sort them properly and reforge the Vault of Glass in an environmentally friendly way.
I think Vault of Glass is the only raid it's the only one that I've actually done, and that was like way too late when we did it.
Yeah.
one raid I did.
We did Leviathan with you, I think.
I thought you quit out of it. I thought you rage quit us.
There was some point where I was getting very grumpy with everybody because you were being a bunch
mostly
of,
me.
You were being a bag of tools, quite frankly.
Doesn't sound like Coleman and friends.
Well, there was the one that you rage quit out of. You're like, we're not doing this anymore. I've had enough. And I was like, oh, come on, man. We'll see. And then the next day we had a nice little chat where you went, I'm sorry. It's not, I was just wound up and overtired. And I think everyone was winding me up, but I'm not specifically mad at you. And then a week later you went, yeah, I was mad at you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I have a question, Dan. What is the titular splicer? In the Season of the Splicer.
He is the person who you're buddying up with, the fallen guy called Mithrax. He is... Mithrax the Splicer, the Sacred Splicer, is given his full name. He basically, what this means is he can talk to machines. Hence why he can get you into the Vex network.
So
sounds like a might and magic
basically
character.
IT support.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm way more into this game now.
I know, right? Yes, so it is. Yes, the Vault of Glass, where you have to go on an epic quest to turn it back on, off and on again, is really what it is. I mean, I'm just saying what you guys want to hear because it's the only way. I'm not going to get interrupted every 3 seconds.
Dan, I don't have a question, but I've got a sound effect.
Right.
Oh, it's not playing.
Oh, never mind. Great. Right. There we go. Lovely. Loving your work, Colin.
Fixed it.
Loving your work. but the other big thing is transmog, but Bungie seems to have really screwed the pooch with this. So transmog, for those of you who don't know, is a system that you can take the appearance of one armor, one or one bit of kit, and apply it to another bit of kit. You often see in games like Diablo. It's often free. In Destiny, it kind of is, but up to a point. And you've got to go through basically a lot of busy work to be able to gather materials to be able to make your armor look like any bit of armor you would like. So there's a cap per season on how much you can earn.
Baseball cap.
Yes, a baseball
you
cap.
You said
the
cat.
Band.
Nice. I thought you said there's a cat. And
Why not?
Transmog.
Transmogger. See what you did there. Very good.
Not cat.
It's, hey, look, you know, if the cat can be whoever it wants to be, okay?
Good.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. Don't go there.
What?
Okay.
It's fine. It's no. fine. Don't worry.
Don't. What, Tim? Tim, don't.
Tim.
Tim, don't Calm engage down. Me on it because it will only get don't worse.
Yes, that's why I backed away.
Yeah, all right, okay, good.
Hey, I do actually have a right. serious Destiny-related question.
All right.
Because you said about the two things this update brought. You didn't talk about the third thing that this update accidentally brought, which is crossplay, which accidentally got yeah. launched early. Some people have been able to do crossplay through PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, and Stadia, I'm assuming, even though that doesn't count. And Bungie have come out and gone, okay, we accidentally turned it on, not for everyone. If you're enjoying it, fill your boots. We're going to switch it off in about a week, though.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I don't know, have you had access to that at all?
That's from that was meant to come with next season. I think we'll be launched for everybody then. But they're just trying to get back to the slight controversy with the transmog system.
Oh yes, yeah.
That actually, although there's bounties for like, hey, do this, you'll get this currency, which you then turn into another currency. I don't know why there's so many bloody steps to do it. But the problem is that it's not actually based on your skill or your ability to do something. There's actually a hard time-based cap to how quickly you can do it. So let's say it's like gather this material by shooting these mans in the face. Even if you shot all of the mans in the face, the maximum rate which you could earn it would be, say, one of this material every 5 minutes.
Right.
So basically, time gating it and trying to encourage you to spend real money to just hard unlock this
Dan,
particular
this
currency.
Sounds like some mobile phone BS to me.
It is some mobile phone BS. And when you bear in mind that this is a game that is you have paid expansions for and then paid season passes for, you can see why people are getting a bit grumpy.
Mate, I got grumpy when they went, hey, we're going to just give away Destiny 2 to anyone that wants it. Like, well,
and actually,
I paid 50 quid for this.
No, the free-to-play stuff has actually slightly broken it as well. They're becoming increasingly reliant on the revenue stream of the microtransactions, which I'm not cool with, to be honest.
Not when you've supported it with you know, big money transactions across years and seasons and everything else. Yeah. That takes the mickey.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Do you pay for the season or is this
a free update type thing? I think it's 1,000 silver.
God, I thought you were going to say pounds then.
Which is about 12 quid, or you can buy the season pass.
Right.
Which is about 35 quid, but of course becomes less value with every new season that releases because it's only going to unlock seasons from there on out. Although you do get, they're not booting old seasonal content off like they were before, so you do still get to play the stuff from the previous season,
which is
a bit of an improvement, I suppose. But I don't know, it very much feels like Bungie are in a bit of a holding pattern ahead of like the next big release, which is called The Witch Queen, I believe, and that's launching early next year. It just feels like there, and this might be due to COVID, and that's fair enough.
Maybe.
But I do think that the increasing reliance on the microtransactions within Destiny is really starting to get to people who are big fans of the game.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. I mean, this is going back a while, but I used to be really into DC Universe Online.
DCU.
Yeah, DCO, MMO of DC, and I really enjoyed that game, and they put a lot of effort into it starting out, and hired like all the kind of voice actors you might know from different DC properties and stuff, and I found it very enjoyable. And then one day they went, actually, free to play, which is great, because that means more people can play. And I went, yay, more people can play. And then slowly, like, all that kind of premium content that you're paying for becomes free. And then they start going, actually, you got to pay for this and this and this and this and all this stuff that was included in your subscription initially. And yeah, it always ruins a game like this to a point, I find. And kind of it puts it in that level that you find to be a lower level of video game, I've always thought. That, you know, it's the stuff that you go on. Who goes onto Steam and goes, right, free games, what's on there? No one does that. So yeah, it kind of puts it in that category. I'm wondering, do you know, well, I don't know if you'd know this because you're a PC player. Is this included in the Game Pass stuff? Because I know on console they've been going, hey, everything's included on Game Pass. I think it's everything before this was included on Game Pass. I don't know if the new one is, though. We're going to have a live Googling moment.
I am, because I don't know, and I should.
Would you like some live Googling moment music?
No, they're not included in the Game Pass subscription.
Oh, no. I mean, we've already done it, but I found the music, so I thought I'd just play it.
Bit late, Coleman.
Yeah.
Better late than never, I guess.
We'll get that ready for next time.
There we go.
Why not?
That's a shame.
I mean, if you're enjoying your Destiny still, Dan, and it doesn't actually cost £1,000 like I thought you were going to say earlier, and we don't have to have an intervention, then more power to you, sir.
And the Vault Glass is going to be free for everybody as well. Well, not free. It's available to all Destiny 2 players.
Gotcha. When that cross-play activates, then I will install on the Xbox, and we will. You'll have to help power level me, as you said.
I certainly shall. We shall even force Tim to play it.
Nathan Fillion stopped being in the game and Nolan North was there and that character died and I don't remember what happened after that.
Oh, they got a new voice actor for Ikora Ray. They've now gutted the game of the entire cast of Firefly.
Oh, no. Do they still have what's his name? The one who was in
Lance
Godzilla
Reddick.
Vs. Kong. Yeah, Lance Reddick.
They still have Lance.
Excellent.
He's still a good lad. So there we go. Anyway, I'm blathering on. We're running out of time. We've still got to talk about the news.
No, we'll skip past the news.
All right.
Very, very quickly, which is great because one of it is heavily aimed towards Tim, and that means we won't talk about it and that will upset him.
Good.
That's funny to me because I'm horrible. But in the topics this week, I just wanted to mention this one very quickly because I said in the last week's show that it looks like Ubisoft are backing off the Division and because of the whole, you know, I'm assuming because of the whole virus stuff, COVID and what have you, and it's a different landscape of what we can use in video game storylines and all that kind of stuff. And then not 1 hour after we finished recording, we literally got a tweet from our friend Ian who went, hey, here's a new Division game that's in the works, which is a free-to-play game called Division Heartland. This is going to be available on all the PlayStations and the Xboxes and PC in the 2021 to 2022 window. If you're interested, go over to Ubisoft.com and sign up to it. I have signed up to it on the Xbox.
Ubisoft have had a weird time this week with going back and forth on some free-to-play stuff because they said they seem to say in a, I think it was a not developers call. What's
financial
the thing
call.
I'm thinking?
Financial call.
It was a financial call with their investors and stuff. They were saying that they're going to concentrate on freemium titles, leveraging freemium titles for their existing properties. That seemed to set off a wave of people saying, "Oh, Ubisoft aren't making any AAA games anymore." And they went, "No. We're going to make AAA games still."
We're just putting more focus into this as well.
Concentrate on doing a lot of freemium stuff as well. So
good. Yeah. Also, I forgot that there is a Netflix movie of The Division that's going to be coming out with Jake Gyllenhaal, I think.
Okay.
And also, there is more content coming to Division 2, which is weird because when I was playing it, it felt like all the content that was coming to that game has come to that game. And I didn't honestly think we were getting another expansion, but we'll see.
There we go.
Or maybe it's more promotional tie-in stuff like the Resident Evil thing.
I quite like The Division 2. I think it's quite good fun.
I do, but it became annoying to play that game on PS4. And I want to take advantage of the new updates and stuff that you can get for playing it on PS5. But it's, again, PS5s, they are hard to find.
Is it
they are
worth
fan
picking
theory.
Up for cheap and playing on the PS5?
Yes,
yeah,
I would say
game.
So. Okay. If you don't have a decent enough PC to play it on, then yeah, I'd say so.
But other new things in on that roadmap, in addition to Heartland and The Division 2 new content, which is officially the most lazy name for a new bit of content I've ever heard, there's also The Division Mobile. There's The Division, the novel. And there's The Division... the Netflix film.
Wait a minute. We already spoke about the Netflix film. That mean, so you've got Tom Clancy.
Yeah, I've got Tom Clancy.
Author,
Zombie
author,
Clancy, if you will.
Tom Clancy, author of...
I did.
Zombieing everyone this week.
Author of books, then turned into... those books then turned into films and then also video games. Then sold
at some
his,
point turned into a universe.
Sold his name to Ubisoft before he died.
Yep.
So now we have Tom Clancy Games based off his name alone and not his books.
Yep.
Now being
but
turned
his universe,
into books.
To be fair.
It's weird.
It's all in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very weird. Yeah. That's all
and
I'm going to say.
Also, what's with all this crap? Just give us a Splinter Cell. God damn you, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
You're never getting Splinter Cell.
Never.
It's going to carry on being weird little side notes in Ghost Recon that no one seems to play but me and Bleazy.
Or it could be a nice microtransaction-laden game where you got to put 50p in the meter to keep your night vision going every 5 minutes.
Yeah, Sam Fisher was in that free-to-play game that angered everyone because of the anyway, there's been a leak, a rumoured leak of PlayStation VR 2. Again, we won't hang around on this too much, but Upload VR, they cited multiple reliable sources that
Tomato,
said that Sony
Brown.
Has shared details to their partners
Daddies.
About PlayStation VR 2, and this will include Worcester. 4K display, eye tracking, haptic feedback, and more.
I mean, that all makes sense, basically. It's what we want. The only thing they didn't seem to talk about, which I really want, is the wireless capability.
Although
Quest does. Plug it in for some stuff, unplug it for other stuff.
I mean, I think the challenge is going to be, A, getting decent battery life in something that's comfortable enough to wear on your head.
Mm.
B, you're massively reliant on the complete Wild West that is Wi-Fi routers out in the wild to guarantee a decent experience. So I think for the Quest 2, you need to be in bloody close proximity to a 5 gigahertz access point, and not everyone will have that.
Yeah.
They were also, in the report, they were also talking about furtive rendering, which I think the idea is it's using motion tracking of your eye and your head, and figuring out where you're looking and rendering that specific point you are looking at to save on resources, which sounds like a cool thing on paper, but also spells out to me, when this thing releases, it will probably be really cool when it releases, and then in about a year, compared to other VR technology, like they've had to do some stuff to make it run the same kind of way as best as they can.
You'd be surprised, actually, the variable rate, I mean, it's not, the variable rate shading is something that NVIDIA are doing, where not all headsets have eyeball tracking, like the PSVR reportedly has, but it's akin to how your eyes work. Your eyes are actually higher resolution in one particular bit called your fovea,
the focal point,
and out to the edge, it's really low resolution. So all VR headsets doing, and it makes complete sense to have higher fidelity vision.
To mimic how the eye works, basically.
To map where your eye is kind of taking in information at the highest density. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Single USB cable, which makes sense. There's one USB cable at the front of the console. Stock that in. That's going, it makes sense. The haptic feedback thing is something that seems to be complexing a lot of people because haptic feedback in a headset. I think this is more referring to the controllers that we saw the thing about in February.
Yeah, I think that would be
although
the case.
I saw something, what was it? I think it might have been kind of funny, where they were going, there's haptic feedback in the headset, and then someone went, hey, that's for motion sickness. And they went, okay. Like, I don't see how that helps, but okay. If that's what you're getting at. They're just talking about the controllers.
Yeah, or it's something that if you've got something on your head going, it annoys you so much that you no longer realize you're feeling sick.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
But yeah, it's rumors.
Hey, I do reporting science,
on
so
rumors.
I know these things.
So take it all with big old fistfuls of salt and pepper.
Nom, nom, nom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, Coleman, let's do a question or two and then let's disappear because this show is quite long.
Yep.
It is quite long. But before we do a question, I want to read you a review because you can review our show if you have enjoyed this over on iTunes, Castbox, Stitcher, other places because I didn't pull the list up in front of me. I was doing something else. Podchaser, did I say that? Apple Podcasts, that's all of them. Sod it. Much like J131003 in brackets, Gamertag has in the UK. And he said, I love this podcast more than yesterday, but less than tomorrow. I would show you my love, but laws and stuff.
And also, thankfully, some certain amount of physical distance. But, you know, it's the thought that counts. Thanks, Jay.
That was on Apple Podcasts.
Keep those hands where we can see in sunshine.
That's right. A 5-star. Yeah. But yes, if you would like to get in contact with us on this here show, if you want to say things like, hey, I enjoyed the show.
Or hey, I enjoyed the show.
Or you want to say, hey, your video was really weird last week where it kept stuttering.
Hey,
thanks.
Your video was really weird last week and it kept stuttering.
Yeah, we made investments. You can do so on the various platforms. You can go to bigredbarrel.com. We have a comment section here on each and every post. You can go to Discord, which there is a link available on bigredbarrel.com. You can go to Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel. And you can go to YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV.
Yes.
Much like these fine people have. I'm just going to go for the top one. Ian says, what do you think about AAA OG games now coming to mobile? Almost 1-1.
One-to-one.
Is Diablo. Yeah. Diablo, The Division, Just Cause, ETL. There seems to be a renewed interest in providing a full AAA experience on phones. Yes, I think you are completely right in that, because with the advent of cloud gaming available on your phone, using GeForce or the Xbox Games Cloud, or even the remote play and stuff, and these different really, really cool looking controllers that are available to stick into your controller, like the Ridgeback and the Razer Kishi, all those kind of things. It makes sense to have more AAA experiences on your mobile phone. I got my Kishi and I spoke about this. I put in Xbox Game Cloud, and for some reason it's just very stuttery. It's not working on my system. Oh. Apparently it's a big problem with people that have got Sky broadband. I found some workarounds.
Well,
don't use
mistake.
The app. Well, don't. I've got pretty high level broadband, but anyway, don't use the app. Use the browser version. I found don't use games that need an online. Don't play Outriders on your phone, even though you have that ability. Play more like simple games. But after having those problems, I went, I'm going to try more mobile games and see how we do. And I tried a bunch of different mobile games and. There's nothing huge out there. Like Square Enix make really big, proper 25, 30, 50 pound games, like AAA games on mobiles, but they seem to be the only one that are taking it as seriously as a platform. So it makes sense to jump in on this.
The only thing I'd say is that I think there's a difference between AAA games being designed specifically for mobile and streaming AAA games to a mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that will always concern me is that they think about how inputs differ on a mobile phone. Because you often see a lot of just like, oh, well, let's just put a touch version of the controller on it and, you know, that'll be fine. Yeah. We'll get away with it. But actually, the best mobile games are those that have really thought about, well, how do we use the different ways to interact with this device to make it a really enjoyable experience. So just as long as companies approach it in that way rather than a cynical, oh, it's a AAA thing that people recognise and this is another revenue stream for us, I'm all for it.
You say that, but now Xbox on the streaming stuff, they've actually taken a selection of their games and started implementing touch controls on your phone to use rather than putting in an external controller. And it's not the best way to play it, but playing Sea of Thieves with a touch control, screen control is perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, see, I played a bit of KOTOR when that came out on mobile, and that had a touch control system.
And the swipe system worked really well.
I really wasn't looking forward to it, but it worked fine. Like, well, it wasn't great, but it was serviceable. You know, you could play it, and I think that style of game where, okay, you're exploring a 3D environment and it's a bit fiddly in there, but when you're actually in combat, it's kind of turn-based anyway. So that kind of fit reasonably well. But I do think it's got to be a game that's either, as you said, designed with that platform in mind and designed around that, or it's got to be something that is a good fit and works well with the, you know, touch controls or whatever you do to make it work on the mobile. But yeah, I mean, I keep on thinking that I'll do a bit more of the streaming stuff and maybe I'll just try it out just to see how Outriders works on my setup and stuff like that, just to come back and report on it. But yeah, I don't know. I keep on thinking I'll have more use cases for it, and then not really. But then I'm kind of not leaving my flat as much as, you know, I would under normal circumstances. So yeah, maybe it will come in handy when we can all actually get back out in the world again as well. But
I'm all for it. The kind of stigma with mobile gaming is that they make, you know, these freemium or free-to-play crappy games, and they don't work very well, and they're not very good. And like, if you put the budget in and you make a decent game and you sell it, I will buy that game. You know,
the big phones problem there is the financial model and the way that mobile makes it that you kind of have to do it. Because apparently, especially if you're like a small indie developer, if you make a game that's popular on mobile phone and like it's not like the free-to-play model, like it will get pirated. Like that will definitely 100% happen. So
I know that, but that also happens on consoles. That happens on PC. You know,
I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not as involved in those things these days, but I think to a lesser extent, especially with online connectivity being such a key feature for a lot of people, you can't really, you know, play an online game and crack it as much, I don't think, on consoles at least. I don't know, but
anywho, chaps, I think we should probably think about getting
going. Yeah, we've gone over. Sorry, there's a load of questions. We're going to have to do like a big round robin and go through all these.
We can even do a question show one day.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
We'll just build them up. Okay.
Yep. There we go. Right. So, that's your lot. As Com says, go to things that have bigredbarrel.com in them on the internet. Say hello on the Discord. Up. Leave us a review. Do all of these things. They make us happy. I mean, if you make us happy, we'll make you happy, you lucky sausage.
That sounds terrible.
So, we'll be back next week. Or
is
at
that
some
a threat? Determin-
yeah, we will. We'll be back. Leave us a review, or we'll be back next week.
We are the management.
So, all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'm still thinking about mobile gaming in a weird way. I've been Kelman.
There you have. So thank you ever so much for listening. And we'll be back some point soon. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.